That's the song, and that's the sermon title there. Lord's will be done. So,
hallelujah.
Grace and amen through everything. The Lord's will be done. Grace and peace to you from God the Father and our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Amen. Good morning, Amazing Grace. Thank you. Let us pray. Lord, we thank you, Father, for this message that reminds us, Lord, that regardless of what we're going through, that your will be done. And that even when we're going through hard times, Father God, that you use that for your good, Father, and you strengthen us through it. You grant us wisdom through it, and we grow in our relationship with you through it, Father. So whatever your will is for us, whatever your spirit speaks to us, Father God, let us go unafraid and unashamed to serve you, to spread the gospel, and to remember that as Paul said, to die is gain. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Amen.
Amen. Amen. So the Lord's will be done. Paul's been hearing a lot of prompting from the Spirit that he's going to be facing a lot of danger. Shipwrecks, prison, just all kinds of persecution everywhere he goes. Amen? But he presses on. Each city he goes to, the Spirit is speaking to him and letting him know what's coming, but he presses on. And that's a good, perfect model for us in today's world. Amen? To press on in the faith regardless of our situation in life. So it's all God's will. If we put God first, it's still God's will. Amen? Even if things are going bad. So just a little overview there. But as we follow the Apostle Paul towards the end of this third mission, amen, he's making his way towards Jerusalem, right? We talked about that. Oh, here's a map, okay? He's making his way towards Jerusalem down here. And once he gets there, the prophecies are going to come true, amen? He is going to face a lot of persecution. He's going to face imprisonment. He's going to face death. Amen? The prophecies will come true. But first, leading up to that, the Scripture is going to teach us something very powerful. Amen?
Amen.
Very powerful for us in our lives today. So our first verse says that after they had torn themselves away from them, it says, we put out to sea and sailed straight to Kos. Remember, this is Luke speaking. Amen? The next day, he said, we went to Rhodes and from there to Patara. And we found a ship crossing over to Phoenicia, and we went on board and set sail. So they're hitching a ride on a ship. Amen, basically. This is the travel log, or like a GPS printout, amen, of Paul's continued mission trip. All right? And so he had left Miletus. He went to Kos. Go back. There we go. Kos right here. You can spell that C-O-S or K-O-S, just so you know. And then he went to Rhodes. And then Patara, and now he's making his way down here, amen, down the coast. And notice it says, after they had torn themselves away from them, okay? Luke is talking about him and Paul and his companions having to tear themselves away. They're tearing themselves away because the others were afraid for their lives, and they didn't want to let them leave, amen? They didn't want them to go. They said, the Spirit has let us know that you're going to face danger. Please don't go. Amen. Please don't leave. But they would tear themselves away, it says, following the prompting of the Holy Spirit, because they were prompted as well. Paul was prompted by the Holy Spirit. Amen. But he took it as a preparation, not as a warning to stay, but to get ready to go. Amen. So they were going to ship, or they were going to sail down south towards Jerusalem. Amen. Paul had poured out his heart to these people, and they had done the same thing to them. So they had a strong relationship. Amen? They didn't want to see him, Luke, and their companions go. And it was a very emotional time for them. Amen? It was an emotional moment. And so they had to tear themselves away, literally, to continue on. And verse 3 says that after sighting Cyprus, they're sailing on. Go back to the map again, or the next slide to the map. So it says after they left here, amen? They got on the ship, okay, they're on their way. And it says, after sighting Cyprus and passing to the south of it, we sailed on to Syria. Syria is all this area here, amen? north of Jerusalem there. We landed at Tyre, where our ship was to unload its cargo. And we sought out the disciples there and stayed with them 7 days. And through the Spirit, they urged Paul, do not go on to Jerusalem. It's an amazing thing that they finally made it across the sea to Tyre. Amen? They're still going. Paul's still going. They're on their way to Jerusalem. And look now, it says in verse 4, it says that they sought out the disciples there and stayed with them for 7 days. Right? In Tyre, okay? The amazing thing is that they had never been to Tyre. Amen? They had never planted a church in Tyre. But yet there was still a church there. Amen? There was a church there. There were Christians there, and they were going to meet up with them in every city they went to, even the ones where they hadn't started the church. This just proves there were a lot of acts of faith in the church that weren't recorded in the Bible.
Amen?
A lot of things that were going on in God's church that aren't in the Bible. The book of Acts was an important picture of what was happening in the first century AD, but there are many things that were not recorded in the book of Acts. Okay? So many victories for Christ's church were happening.
Amen.
All over the region.
Amen.
And the church in Tyre was just one of them. It was a church that was growing, that was building, and the disciples had told Paul, don't go up to Jerusalem, because the Spirit had revealed to them that danger was awaiting him. They're receiving that message a little differently than Paul was. Amen? But Paul knew, because everywhere Paul went, the Spirit was telling him, danger's awaiting you. Amen? Wherever he went. So the Spirit had been talking to him, and I'm sure Paul was getting tired of hearing it, right? Because he's going to keep on pressing on. Amen? But now he's going to hear it again here in Tyre, and so we know that eventually Paul's going to go. We know he makes it to Jerusalem. Amen? But he was right. Was he right, though, in going when the Holy Spirit was telling him about the trouble? Right? Was he right, or was he wrong, as the elders had been telling him, don't go. Stay here, you know? It's clear that God had warned him of the trouble through the Spirit, yet he was going to go right ahead and go after the warning. So was he right or wrong to do that? That's the question. Amen? Huh?
The Lord already showed him in the vision when he made him blind.
The Lord had already showed him, right? But the people were telling him, you better not go. Trouble's waiting for you. The Spirit spoke to us too. I wouldn't go if I was you. Amen? But they weren't him, right?
Amen.
They might have said something like, take a break, you know, stay here for a while, let things cool down. No. Paul was on his mission, literally, right? And so he was going to go. They cared about Paul. They didn't want to seem harmed to him. And they pleaded with him. Amen? They kept pleading with him. So was Paul in obedience or disobedience to the Spirit, right? I believe he was in obedience, right? He's listening to the Spirit, the way the Spirit was talking to him. We each have our own personal relationship, right? The Spirit's going to speak differently to each of us depending on our situation. Amen? So I believe it was the latter. I believe the Lord was preparing him to stay strong in the Lord, because the Lord knew what was coming. The Lord was preparing him, and it was going to be a rough ride from here on out. So he warned him over and over again. And so he was preparing his heart, in a sense. Amen? Preparing his heart for what was to come. And I think the Lord does the same thing for us, too. Amen? We go through a lot of troubles. A lot of us have been through a lot of trouble. Amen? But the Lord has prepared our hearts for what's yet to come. Amen? He strengthens us and gives us wisdom through all that. And, you know, he prepares us for hard times that we don't even know about yet. He prepares us, amen, because God is omniscient and God is good.
Amen.
He knows everything, amen. We got to trust in his will. Verse 5 says, when it was time for them to leave, it says, Luke speaking again, we left and continued on our way. All of them, including wives and children, accompanying us out of the city, and there on the beach we knelt to pray. And after saying goodbye to each other, we went aboard the ship, and they returned home. So they were going to go. Paul was going to go regardless. Amen? It didn't matter to Paul what the people wanted. Paul was going to obey the Spirit the way he perceived it, the way he heard it, the way he received it. Despite the dangers, he was going to leave unafraid. And out of respect for Paul, they were going to accompany him out of the city, because that's the way they used to accompany dignitaries and important people as they were leaving the city. Amen? They were going to escort him out of the city. But it also says that as Christians, they were going to kneel on the beach and pray before they left. Amen. What an amazing sight that would have been, huh? To see these disciples and apostles kneeling on the beach and praying, right? A unity of prayer is what that was. Amen? And that's a strong thing in the church. We know that that's evident here at Amazing Grace. Amen? There's power in prayer when we come in unity. Amen? And pray for one another. And as I think of that unity of God's gospel to us, I'm reminded of the unity that I've experienced, and I know a lot of you have as well, over the years, you know, through so many different ministries. Amen? For me, I've been involved with ministries like Church on the Street, Dream Center, Salvation Army, Celebrate Recovery, our own jail ministry, music, many different music ministries, as you guys know, and many more. I have benefited from the unity that I've experienced in seeing the Holy Spirit work through these ministries.
Amen.
And through these people and draw us closer together, because that's what it does. Amen?
Amen.
We become the body, one body of Christ, right? And so we have to work together through the body. And so they were going to pray in unity on this beach before they left. Amen? And then they were going to say goodbye, and they were going to board the ship. And look, they don't want to let him go, man. They don't want Paul to go, right? So they're going to continue on. It says in verse 7, "We continued on our voyage from Tyre and landed at Ptolemais, where we greeted the brothers and sisters and stayed with them for a day." Here we go again, huh? They're in Judea, and then they went on from Tyre and landed at Ptolemais, and again it says they met some disciples.
Amen.
Right? More disciples are everywhere. Amen? And I guess the Great Commission is well underway, because every city they go to, right? Every little city has disciples waiting and willing to help and support them. Praise God for that. And so God is so good. The church is getting stronger. Paul's starting to see the fruit of the church's labor, right? Starting to see the fruit. The church is growing. The Lord's will was being done, but Paul's still going to be in danger, right? Even though the Lord's will is being done, we can still be in danger.
Amen.
We've got to trust in God's will. Verse 8 says, "Leaving the next day, they reached Caesarea and stayed at the house of Philip the evangelist, one of the seven. He had four unmarried daughters who prophesied." So they've gone further down south, right? Right here, and they go down almost to Jerusalem. They're going to stop right here in Caesarea, okay? And there, Paul's going to meet Philip, and he's going to stay at his house. And this is the same Philip that we talked about in Acts 6 and Acts chapter 8. Amen? The man named Philip was one of the seven that was chosen to minister to the widows. Remember that? When the widows, when they felt they were being left out, they chose seven disciples to minister to them. He was one of those seven. And he's also the one that witnessed to the Ethiopian.
Amen.
Remember that too. Amen. And at the end of chapter 8, it says that he finally stopped in Caesarea, and that's where he is right now. So, you know, he crosses paths with Paul. That was a divine appointment. Amen. God had sent him in that city. He was there for years. And then Paul comes along. Right place at the right time. Amen. And we talk about a divine appointment all the time. You know, it was a divine appointment, just like it's a divine appointment that we're all sitting here right now. Amen?
Amen?
And what a great name they gave him, right? Philip the Evangelist. Philip the Evangelist, right? It's a wonderful thing to be given a name that says you're deliverer of God's message.
Amen.
Right? Especially that you're living, that you do that for a living.
Amen?
Amen? Because that's who he was. That's what he was. That's who he was. And there are many people today with that gift of evangelism. Amen? Many people. And I think we're all called to be a witness at least, right? We've been talking about that for months. But some are called to be a witness. Some are called to be an evangelist. Some are called to be a pastor. But God has a calling for each of us. Amen. And God can give us all the same opportunity to be anything we want to be in His kingdom. Right? Praise God. Thank you, Lord. We all have different gifts that we can give to the kingdom.
Amen.
And we can all do our part in that great commission. So where is God calling you to serve this year? Amen. That's the question, right? What's God calling you to do in the church, out there, at your job, in your home, wherever that is, right? The kingdom is everywhere. Amen. What is God calling you to do? Are you listening to the prompting of the Spirit that's speaking to you as an individual? Amen? Just like it was speaking to Paul. And I just love when God uses the church to promote or permit others to serve. Amen? It's an amazing thing. It's an honor and a privilege to work for the Lord in any capacity.
Amen.
And to give that opportunity to someone else, it's a great feeling. Amen? So what is God calling you to do this year? And whatever that is, of course, I hope your answer is yes. Amen. I tell people all the time, they say, how'd you get from where you were to where you are today? And I said, I never said no to God. Whenever God wants me to do something, whenever I feel God is asking me to do something, I always say yes. I take that, whatever that chance looks like, I take it and I trust in His will. Amen. And that's what this message is all about, because you just might be the next Philip. Right? You might be the next Philip the Evangelist or Dave the Evangelist. Amen?
Amen.
Or Harold the Yelling Evangelist.
Amen.
Never know. And you don't say no to the Holy Spirit. That's the point. Amen? Never say no to the Holy Spirit. And then verse 9 says he had four virgin daughters who prophesied. And they say that these women later on had lived to a very old age. Okay? And as they lived to witness and prophesy about Jesus Christ and about the church, the early church. And so they had these four daughters, they're prophets, but God wouldn't use them to speak to Paul. Amen? He was going to use someone else. And so we'll read that starting in verse 10. God's own ways, right? God's mysterious ways, okay? Verse 10 says, after we had been there a number of days, a prophet named Abagus came down from Judea. Coming over to us, he took Paul's belt, tied his own hands and feet with it, and said, the Holy Spirit says, in this way, the Jewish leaders in Jerusalem will bind the owner of this belt and will hand him over to the Gentiles. I heard one pastor say that that Paul looked at him and said, well, I borrowed that belt from Luke, so what does that mean, right? No, I'm just kidding. No. Here's Paul, okay? He's staying at the home with these four daughters. They're all prophets, amen? And yet God chooses to bring in this designated hitter, amen? God chooses to bring in Abagus, amen? He brings in this prophet to deliver this prophecy. God could have used any or all of these four daughters, but this just shows that God works in His own ways, amen? We may see something different, but God works in His own mysterious ways. And we're not always going to understand it. Amen? Any of those girls could have delivered that message, but God chose Abagus. And we will never really know why. Amen? But it doesn't matter, because God is sovereign and God is omniscient and He knows everything, and we have to trust in His will. Amen? We got to trust that that's all we need to know, that it's God's choice. It's God's will. And we just have to accept it and be at peace with that. And the message that Abagus brought was that he came down from Judea in the spirit of the Old Testament prophets, because he was going to use an act out. He was going to act out this message, just like the Old Testament prophets used to do. Amen? He was going to act it out. He was going to do it old school, okay? He took Paul's belt, wrapped it around his own hands, and he says, this is exactly what's going to happen to the person who owns this belt. Pretty clear message. Amen? Paul probably could have looked at him like, I borrowed that belt. No, but like he said, right? But he knew the trouble was going to be waiting for him. Right? They had told him over and over again. But he was ready to accept that cup of sorrow. He was ready to accept a sacrifice for the Lord. Because remember, Paul would say, to die is gain. Amen? When he's serving God, that's all that matters. because he knows the Lord had gone to prepare a place for him. Philippians 1:21, Paul said, "For me to live," here it is "to live is Christ, to die is gain."
Amen.
Right? To live is Christ, and to die is gain. When Paul heard this, or Luke says, when we heard this, we and the people there pleaded with Paul not to go up to Jerusalem. They said, "Please don't go." They were pleading with Paul, "Don't go to Jerusalem." But I think that message wasn't of the Lord. I think that was more of them. Amen? This was going to play out exactly the way the Lord wanted it. They weren't going to prevent Paul from leaving. Amen? But with Luke, once again, speaking in the first person, he's saying, "We," right? It appears that even Luke and his traveling companions are begging Paul to sit this one out. But Paul wasn't going to back down. Paul wasn't going to let the Lord down. Amen? Luke and Paul's disciples had encouraged Paul through every part of this missionary journey. But finally, as they reach Caesarea and this prophet Abagus shows up, they finally say to him, "Don't go." They're no longer supporting him. Now they're saying, "Don't go. The Holy Spirit has warned us about your suffering. Don't leave." But Paul tells him, "You got it wrong. The Holy Spirit isn't saying, don't go. It's only saying that there's going to be trouble and that I'm going to suffer, and I'll suffer anything to witness for my Savior." Right? He's saying, it's not saying, don't go. He's just letting me know what to expect, to empower him, right? To strengthen him, to prepare him for what is to come. And then Paul answers in verse 13. He says, "Why are you weeping and breaking my heart? I'm ready not only to be bound up, but also to die in Jerusalem for the name of the Lord Jesus." Right? For him to die was gain. Didn't matter to him. It was like they were trying to scare Paul, but Paul wasn't going to be shaken. Paul was going to press on. He was going to press on unafraid because he knew it was the Lord's will. He was ready to even die for his Savior because it was the Lord's will. He was ready. You see, Paul saw those warnings as a tool to prepare him to go, not to prevent him from going. It was preparing him mentally, spiritually, in every way. He was bound in the Spirit to go because for him to die was gain. But is that how you look at your life and death today? Amen? Do you think, well, to die is gain, right? Is that how we look at our lives? Do you truly believe that? Because when you do, you experience a peace that no one and nothing can take away from us. Amen? Because it doesn't matter what happens. As long as we're serving God and we got that relationship, amen, to die is going to be gain.
Amen.
Believing the Lord has gone to prepare a place for us is the greatest hope that we could ever have. Because that trumps everything. Amen? Amen? Charles Spurgeon said, "To trust God in the light is nothing, but to trust him in the dark, that's faith." Amen. That's faith. That's the way to live, right? Trust him in the dark. Pastor Robert says, "To have a true fear of God is to have no fear in life."
That's right.
Right? To have a true fear of God is to know his power and to know what he's done for us. Is to have no fear in life.
Amen to that.
To live for God is to choose his will, whether it involves suffering or not. We must still choose his will, just as Paul did. Amen? Because it's his will, right? That's a mature faith. When we can trust God through even the hard times, that's a mature faith.
Amen.
And then Luke said, when he would not be dissuaded, talking about Paul, he said, "We gave up. We gave up and said, the Lord's will be done."
You know,
right? Obviously, it must be the Lord's will be done. He's not going to give up. These were the words of Paul's companions, including Luke. They came to believe that even if Paul was wrong, right? Because they may have had some pride there, right? Even if Paul was wrong, God was going to use him for his good purpose.
Amen.
Right? And that's how we need to look at it too. Right? Even if we're going to face persecution, God's going to use that for his purpose. We live in a fallen world. Amen? God uses everything for his good purpose. You see, Paul saw these warnings as a means of preparation. These warnings were preparing him. While all the others saw it as a warning to back off and back down and be careful. Amen? That's a different way of looking at things. But when they saw Paul's extreme refusal, they were going to see the will of God working through him. That was the will of God working through him, in him, and on him. Amen? And so Luke and the other disciples, they had been adding to God's word, the word of the Spirit. All right? In a sense, they were adding to it. That's never a good idea. Amen? God's word is already enough. It's already complete. It's never a good idea to add anything to it or take anything away from it. Amen? Paul was going to receive God's word, and he was going to do God's will with no fear. No fear. The fear wasn't going to throw him off course. He knew the Lord's will would be done on earth as it is in heaven.
Amen.
And nothing's going to stop that.
Amen.
Knowing and living in God's will requires us to have an unwavering faith. Amen? But it also requires us to have prayers of others.
Amen.
Intercessory prayers are powerful. Amen?
Yeah.
Prayers of others and the ability to hear God's voice above the voice of the others who are speaking against his will. Because those voices can get loud. Amen? We got to trust that God's voice and hear that over everything. Amen? So just as Paul, we must have discernment regarding our own convictions when we hear that Spirit speaking to us. Because it's our own personal relationship. Amen? We have to make sure we're doing, what would Jesus do? Right? What would Jesus do? Verse 15 says that after this, we started on our way up to Jerusalem. So they're on their way again, okay? Paul said, we're going, and they're going. Verse 16 says, some of the disciples from Caesarea accompanied us and brought us to the home of Mnason, where we were to stay. He was a man from Cyprus and one of the early disciples. And so at the last stop, before arriving in Jerusalem, they're going to stay at Mnason's house in Caesarea. Amen? Now, we're not exactly sure why they mention his name, okay? But we do know that we see that it says that he was one of the early disciples, right? Early disciples. The CEV version says that he had been a follower from the beginning, right? So we assume that he was probably one of the 3,000 that received the Holy Spirit at Pentecost, right? The beginning of the church, amen? Or maybe even further back, maybe he had heard Jesus on the Mount giving his sermon. Amen? We don't know. But we do know he was from the beginning of the church. Amen? And that he had heard the gospel and he believed in Christ. That's what we know for sure. And so this would have been a good evening of, you know, exchanging testimonies for Paul and him, encouraging words from a longtime believer that Paul needed to hear, right?
Amen.
All Paul's been hearing is that, you know, trouble's coming, man, and don't go. Don't go. You know, he needed some encouragement, right? He needed some encouragement.
Amen to that.
Paul would later say in Philippians chapter 1, verses 27 through 30, he would say, as he wrote to the Philippians, whatever happens, conduct yourselves in a manner worthy of the gospel of Christ. Then whether I come and see you or only hear about you in my absence, I will know that you stand firm in the one Spirit, striving together as one for the faith of the gospel, without being frightened in any way by those who oppose you. This is a sign to them that they will be destroyed, but that you will be saved, and that by God. For it has been granted to you on behalf of Christ, not only to believe in him, but also to suffer for him. Since you are going through the same struggle you saw I had, and now hear that I still have.
Amen.
Amen. That's a true faith, right? He's being an example, right? We're going to suffer for his name. Amen. That means that trusting in the Lord's will for salvation is a gift. It's a gift, amen? God has given us not only a gift of faith, but this is the hard part for people to understand, but a gift of suffering.
Hallelujah.
Right? The world looks at that as foolishness, amen? Gift of suffering. This suffering that we avoid at all costs in the world can be God's will for us. Amen? God's will can be suffering as well. But he uses that and he strengthens us. Because without that pain in our lives, there's no growth. Amen? Without the pain, there's no growth and less Christ-likeness.
Amen.
We're less like him if there's no growth in him. And no need for faith and no need for most of our prayers if everything's all good. Right? So how do we grow in our relationship? If we got everything we need and everything's good all the time, then we don't need to grow in our relationship. Amen? So things are going to go wrong. We're going to have problems. But the Lord's going to strengthen us through them.
Amen.
This fallen world, it's tough. Amen? And the weak will be made strong.
Amen.
And all these things that we suffer cause us to bow down. Right? To bow down, lay it at the cross, and which in turn causes us to grow in our relationship.
Amen.
Right? So there's good in everything when it's in God's will. Amen? So we become more and more like him. We become stronger. We gain wisdom. And we love the Lord more intimately because we need him. We need him in our lives. And ultimately, we see Christ more clearly. The stronger our relationship becomes, the clearer we see him. And in doing so, we strive to share that love that we've acquired boldly with other people. Amen? That's the witness, right? That's the witness. Well, how can we witness anything if we don't experience it first? Amen? All of this we do to please God and bring him the glory. That's what it's all about. Us being here today, this divine appointment right now, is about giving God the glory. Amen?
Amen?
So the Lord's will for our lives is to live for the sake of the gospel while living in unity with each other, brothers and sisters in Christ. And to, just like Paul, live fearlessly, amen, in the face of our enemies.
Amen.
God gives us the strength. Because we know that God granted us the gift of faith through suffering in Jesus Christ. Knowing that to die is gain is the Lord's will for our lives. And it's his will for our lives because that's what's going to bring each of us eternal peace.
Amen.
Now and forever.
Amen.
Amen. Let us pray. Father,